The chapter, Some Glad Morning, Some Glad Day, I'll Fly Away. Give us a little synopsis of that.
That's a song. And that was a song of hope. That was the song of the reality of many of the people that I grew up with, the older people, is that no matter what happened to their lives, no matter how mistreated they may have been, overlooked or ignored, there would come a time that their lives would be celebrated. And that celebration was part of their faith. So some glad morning, some glad day, I'll fly away. I'm going to leave this, dropping it all, and I'm going to become who I was destined to be.
When do you do your best writing? Morning, afternoon, does it make any difference? Upon inspiration?
Upon inspiration. Upon inspiration, if it hits me at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm in bed, I wake up.
You've got to do it.
I got to do it. I cannot put it off. And my wife is a testament to that. She would tell you that some days I'll write for 3 days and won't quit. But then I'll go for months and not write.
How many times have you thought of something and I'm going to write it later and it's gone?
Many times.
And
I don't want to ever put myself in that position when it's time to write. I have to write when the inspiration hits me.
Then you wrote a second book, The Last Train North. That just happened to be nominated for the Pulitzer Prize.
And it also won the first African-American to win the Mississippi Institute of Arts and Letters Award for Nonfiction. It won the Doubleday Book of the Year Award. I mean, it didn't stop winning.
The way we talk about it sounds easy, but writing is not easy.
Writing is not. It's not. It's a task. It's a lovely task, but it's a task.
You know you've got to write. Do you get writer's block?
I don't get writer's block because writer's block is almost like something blocks you. But when there's nothing else to say, I stop. Now, many people call that writer's block because they want to write 5 hours a day and they've only written two. They got 3 hours left and they're being guided by what I would call a fictitious time frame they've set up. I don't look at it like that. I look at when the inspiration stops, I stop.
Who was it? A famous writer said, you take a blank piece of paper and you stare at it till the blood comes out of your... Isn't there a quote that goes like that?
I don't know. It could be,
yeah,
but I...
it just sounds like the worst thing in the world. And maybe that's because you write on inspiration. Maybe there are people who, I've got to get this written, but I don't have anything to say today, and I'm sitting looking at this computer screen, and I just can't do it. And some have said, if I can write one sentence in a day, that's okay.
Well, essays I write a lot. I may have the inspiration to start, but I keep till I finish. That's a different type of writing than the books that I write.
You have 13 books.
Right.
8 Habits of the Heart. One of those books garnered an invitation by former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor to address members of the court and their invited guests. How does this book come to her attention?
Think the Mississippi Delta Queen. Think Natchez, Mississippi. Think some of the most important people in the world. They're on this boat. They have decided to make it a literary tour of the American South. And there's a writer chosen for every port that the boat will come to, the Mississippi Delta Queen. I was chosen as a writer for the port of Natchez. I still don't believe it, but I was. Because Shelby Foote was there. You got the guy who wrote the 1927 flood. I'm trying to think of his name right now. I can't think of his name right now, and I apologize for that. You got incredible Southern writers. And I'm there in the midst of them at the port of Natchez. Unknown to me, Sandra Day O'Connor is in the audience. I have no earthly idea. I've never met her. Don't remember having seen her before. Because in those days, you didn't have C-SPAN, I don't believe, because you never saw who these justices were. So anyway, I've given my speech at Melrose Plantation. We have about 120 people there. And they're literally from around the world. Some of the world's wealthiest people and most well-known. At the end of my speech, get a standing ovation. People stand in line to shake my hand. And I'm talking about once upon a time when we were colored, what I'm talking about at that time. But I'm talking about the 8 Habits of the Heart. Before the book, 8 Habits of the Heart grew out of once upon a time when we were colored. So they're a combination of two things, conversation. Now, the book had been printed, but I was using both to talk about this story. There was a lady came up to me, and she had tears in her eyes. She had on a yellow jacket and a pair of white pants. And she said, this was just incredible. We need to hear more about this. And that's all she said. And the guy behind me said, do you know who you just talked to? I said, I have the slightest idea. He said, that was Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. I said, are you kidding me? That afternoon, I got a call from my husband, John O'Connor, said, would you be willing to have breakfast with the justice and us tomorrow morning? We were all staying on the Mississippi Delta Queen, and I was so afraid I would oversleep. I stayed awake, sat up all night, and I decided for breakfast that I would not have grits or eggs or anything that I could have any problem with. I would get a bran muffin and orange juice. That should be just fine. So I go up, I get down there, everybody's there. John O'Connor meets me, really nice guy. I get my bran muffin, and when I see the justice come down and the head of the FBI is there as well, I mean, this is big time. I got the muffin in my hand, but I don't realize that I'm so nervous. I have squeezed the muffin to death. It's coming out of my fingers. John O'Connor sees this, and he taps me on the shoulder. He says, I think you need some help, Mr. Talbert. It was an embarrassing moment, but an unforgettable moment as well. I finally got my hands cleaned up, got another muffin, went to the table. We talked a little bit about the books that I'd written and how I grew up and things like that. She just said, well, we need to have you in Washington. Washington needs to hear this. I've had people say things like that before. You know, nothing ever came of it. About a month later, we get a call in my office. She calls directly herself. And the guy who worked for me, Doug Decker, lives here in Tulsa, still works for me part-time. He said, Clifton, somebody's playing a gag. They say they're Sandra Day O'Connor. You know, ain't no Supreme Court justice calling this office. A month had passed, and I'd kind of forgotten it. I said, wait a minute. Wait. It could be. And I picked up the phone, and it was her. Wanted some time that I could come to Washington. That's how it all happened.
If you were just an author, not all authors and writers can speak.
Yeah.
So you were also given that gift, and it was because of your speaking. She knew the book, but you were able to speak about it, and so you've got a double whammy going here. Who did you address when you went to D.C. and the members of the court?
First of all, I met the Honorable Dr. James Billington, who's the librarian for the United States, because I was going to speak in the Library of Congress in this incredible room. He's a good friend of Sandra Day O'Connor. He introduced Sandra Day O'Connor, and Sandra Day O'Connor introduced me. The justices who attended, I think there were seven, all of them didn't attend, but I think seven, they were all seated on the front row with pencil and paper in hand. It was the most nerve-wracking time of my life. I mean, this is not something that I would have counted on or looked for or thought about or anything like that.
Tell me about the room. Was it around a big table?
Oh, no.
They sitting in an audience?
There was an audience, maybe about 200-300 people.
Okay, but they were sitting on the front
row. They were sitting on the front row, as was Sandra Day O'Connor. They were sitting right on the very front row. So I gave the speech.
Did you feel good about yourself? I mean, you were nervous, but do you think you did a good job?
I think I did a good job. I don't think I did an excellent job because I was too scared.
But obviously, they had to be very appreciative.
They were. I mean, the people there were generals. The Supreme Court made up a guest list.
You
and
did?
And then I could invite people to as well.
You did tell them you picked cotton.
Oh, yeah. By the time they left, they knew the story.
Well, what a wonderful thing for you to be happening, huh?
Yeah.
This thing about not feeling as good, is that going away? I mean, look what happened to you here.
Yeah, it goes away. Or it doesn't show up as frequently, I would say. Maybe that's it.